man, he's done it. He's been faithful. Now, there's a lot of times this fellow right here has not been faithful. But thank God he's never been unfaithful to me. God's always done exactly what he said that he would do. Amen? And can I tell you, you can trust him when you can't trust anyone or anything else. You can trust the Lord. So, we get our confidence built up in a lot of people sometimes. We get, oh, well, you know, so-and-so said this and so-and-so has promised this. And, I'm like you. I've let people down, and I've had others to let me down. But, man, can I tell you, Jesus has never, never let me down. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles one more time, please. Look with me in the book of Luke in chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And we've been reading this, you know, for the last few weeks, talking about the story of the birth of Jesus. So we'll just kind of finish it up today with this one little verse. I mean, really, is all we're going to concentrate on. As you remember the story, how we've talked about the angelic announcement, how the angels came and gave that pronouncement about the birth of a Savior in Bethlehem, right? We got that. And then last week we looked at the awestruck audience. Those shepherds stood there as they saw the angel, as they heard the message, and then they were in the presence of the angels as they glorified God. I mean, all of that went on. There they were. And they went out and they began to tell that story. Amen? But in the midst of every bit of that, in the midst of all of that, there is something that has happened. So, and look with me, if you will, in verse number 15, and we'll read down through verse number 20. It said, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them," from the shepherds, "into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So as I say, we see there they were awestruck, they were astounded at all of the news that had come to them. And then in verse 16 said, "They came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The shepherds were telling that story, and there were folks that were there as they heard it, and they wondered, what does all this mean? What's going on? But look in verse number 19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for your love and mercy and goodness and grace. Bless the Word of God as it's been read, and the things that we would say. Let us be a spokesman for you and say the words of God, something that would encourage all of those that are hearing this morning. Just give us a visit. Just give us a rejoicing time. Give us a good blessing day. Just give us the rest that we can find in Christ Jesus this morning, and the glories that come with that as we just are in a place of rejoicing, a place of thanksgiving, a place of astoundment and wonder and awe as we think about the birth that was the one that changed the entirety of history. Thank you again for all of this that we've read, all that we understand. Be a blessing now in all of it, and we'll just give you thanks for it. Save that one that's lost. Draw them to you. Show them their need of Christ, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this, and we'll just call this the acute awareness of Mary. The acute awareness of Mary. Now, this is still part of that idea of when heaven touched earth. When heaven touched earth. Heaven came down and touched the earth at the birth of Jesus. But I want you to notice this, as I said. You just see the acute awareness of Mary. I mean, this is Mary. This is a young girl that has just delivered her firstborn child with all of the things that have been told and all the things that have even been rumored and whispered and gossiped about. And here she is. And all of the great marvel of Christmas has gone on before her eyes. And, you know, it's a difficult thing, I'm sure, for her to start to begin to process what all of this is and what's going on. What in the world is happening? I mean, a lot of you ladies can recall the birth of your child, all of the emotions and all of the changes and all of the stuff that's going on in your life when all that's happening. But now here she is, and this is the child that is the Son of the Living God. I mean, man, that's something special and different, isn't it? And Mary is trying, as I say, she's in a place where she's trying to process all of this stuff. And you notice what it says? I mean, the shepherds and the people, oh, they've all got some kind of reaction. But now you see the reaction of Mary. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So let's look at that this morning, just as we think on that and realize what is going on, as I said, in the life of Mary. I mean, just a young girl, probably a teenager, as we understand some of the terminology and the thought and even all the stuff that's going on this day. That's probably who she was. But I want you to notice, first of all, I want you to notice as we look at her, you notice these three terms and three thoughts with it, if you will. First of all, let's notice her preservation. Her preservation. If you'll notice what it says there, that Mary, what did she do? She kept all these things. Mary kept them. You know, a lot of you and me included, I guess, when our kids are born, hey, mothers keep things about their babies, don't they? You know, when we were kids, and that's been for a lot of y'all can't think back that far, but when we were kids, they used to get your baby shoes and bronze them. Anybody remember that? When they'd take your baby shoes and they'd dip them, bam, you got bronze baby shoes. And that was just a memento of that baby. I mean, it was something. I mean, could you imagine that? There you go. And I've seen them, and you have down through the years seen them, and look at that, and they say, oh, that's when so-and-so was a baby, and that's when my little girl came along. That's what, and they did that thing. I mean, it is something so that mama and that daddy and that family can all ponder, they can all think, they can all kind of go over some of those things that are there. I mean, you know, we've all got stuff like mamas have got baby books, right? I mean, the mamas will keep a little book of they said their first goo-goo or their first da-da or, you know, whatever it was. Got all that recorded. Got a little bag where you kept that first little tooth that came out. I mean, we've got all kinds of little mementos. Oh, they took their first step when they were so many months old, and they did all this. We've got that kind of stuff, right? And you know what it makes you do? Sometimes you just sit down and you look back at all of those things, don't you? And you begin to ponder, you begin to think, and you begin to, the Bible says here that Mary kept those things. She had a preservation of them. She put them away somewhere. But I don't tell you, she didn't have books, and she didn't have collectibles. She didn't have little trinkets and items like maybe we do, but she kept all these things. And the Bible said that she kept them in her heart, but she held on to them. Isn't that what you and I love to do? Is we like to hold on. We like to keep the hold of these things and go through them in our minds. But here she is. I mean, she kept down all the precious memories. Mary's sitting here thinking about the shepherds have come. And you know what the shepherds said? The angels came and made an announcement, Mary and Joseph, about your baby being born. And she said, I'm putting that in my heart. Isn't that a special thing? Isn't that a special time? Isn't that a special blessing? I mean, people come to you and they tell you about, oh, we saw your baby, and your baby looks just like his daddy, and your baby looks just like the mama, and, you know, all those kind of things that people say to you, and some of them, you know, you wonder about sometimes, but they tell you all that stuff, right? And you really take it on the inside of it, and you keep a hold of that. Oh, this baby's going to be fine. This baby, I've told y'all this before, and my brother and sister are here, so y'all just eat a little crow, okay? I was baby of the week when I was born. My picture was in the paper. Amen? And they said I was going to be a multimillionaire or something. I don't know what it was, but they missed a lot of that, didn't they? But no, I'm kidding. They didn't say that. But they they had a little picture, and I have no idea how that even got in there. But somebody came up to Erlanger Hospital, took a picture, and they said, that poor kid needs to be in the paper because that's about all he's going to have. So put him in there. But you know, those are things. I guarantee we were cleaning out Mother's house after she passed away. My picture was still there. I'm just, you keep all those things, right? You keep all those things. All those, as I say, the little smiling faces and the little first steps and all of, Mary has kept all of these things that have been brought to her. She heard what the angels had announced. She heard the things that the shepherds were there to share. And she heard all of the other things. And you know, every bit of those things that she heard, they were all very important, at least to her. Oh, they were important to the world, but they were really important to that mother and her heart. She kept them. She held on to them. She grabbed a hold of them. I mean, listen, can you imagine? Here's Mary, and you see, and you know that, ladies, you know, she had an excitement for 9 months. When the angel came and said, you're going to have a child, and you know the excitement that that brings. You know how those things happen. Oh, you get so excited. You get so thrilled. I mean, you're just head over heels. Hey, let me tell you, and it works for grandparents too, doesn't it? Amen? Y'all remember that when somebody came in and told you you're one of your children that's going to have that first grandchild, and you was ready to do a double backflip and run, tell everybody, and you had pictures you ain't even took yet. Let me show you some pictures. You get them little pictures. They do them ultrasound. There's my baby, and you think, hallelujah, I don't know what that is, but it's your baby. I'm glad for you. And, you know, those kind of things that we do because it's important. It's important to us, and we're excited about it. Here's Mary. She has been excited about carrying this baby that an angel came and told her she was going to have and when he was going to be born and that he was going to be a boy and that his name would be Jesus and that he's going to be able to save his people from their sin. She had an excitement for those 9 months. I mean, excited. And she's keeping all that excitement. But not only do you see that she's got an excitement that she's had, but now at this time, she's got the experience that she's just had in the birth of this child and the shepherds coming. And as I said, hearing about the angelic announcements and all of the things about this babe and about him being born in such a lowly estate and how that he was born in a place away from home and how that he was there according to how the Scripture had prophesied. I mean, man, she's keeping all this stuff. She's tucking it away in her heart. She's keeping all of these things and investing them into the thread and the love and the life of her lifetime. And now, I think she's even doing this. She's keeping a few things. You know how it is. You mamas and daddies. The expectations that lie ahead for this baby. What's he going to be when he grows up? Oh, I know all the things that have been prophesied. But, Mary's sitting there thinking, I don't understand all of that. I don't know how that's going. Is he going to be a great military leader? Is he going to be a mighty warrior? Is he going to overcome and overthrow the Roman government? Is he going to lead a mighty band and an army? And we're going to have freedom in our land, Israel? I mean, she don't know, but she's tucking all that down in her heart. She's hiding every bit of that emotion and that excitement and that joy and that celebration that everybody or those others around her have. Not everybody, but those others. They're having a celebration about the birth of this baby. The shepherds are preaching it. And the angels are announcing it. And the heavens are singing it. And here she is. She said, I'm just glad to be part of it. And I don't know how it's going to look going out ahead. But I sure am glad. Amen. Sure am glad I got to be the mother of this child. I mean, you all understand that, keeping those things in your heart. Oh, I hope my child grows up to be a decent person. I hope they grow up to be healthy. And I hope they grow up to be living right and doing right in society and not getting into trouble. You know, we go through all of those things. And Mary's putting all of those, she kept those things in her heart. There's some preservation that's going on.
But not only that, I want you to notice, you see, there's preservation, but second of all, there's meditation. Meditation. It said Mary kept all these things and pondered them. She's on all stuff that's come into her life. She's sitting there thinking about that. And somebody said this, that the word ponder to them meant this, to consider a matter and then draw conclusions from what you've considered. That's what pondering. And certainly, as I said, she's doing that. She's meditating on all these things that she's thinking about her life and all the things that have happened to her. I mean, everything that's going on. I think, first of all, as you may even think that she's pondering on the fact of the honor that she has to be the mother of Jesus. I believe she's saying, this is certainly something that I didn't ever foresee. This is something I didn't know. This is something I could never even expect. Do you realize this? That as people grew up in the land of Israel, that throughout the day, they were always looking for a Messiah. They knew the prophecies about a Messiah. They just didn't understand how it was going to come. And every little Jewish girl had those dreams and those ponderings in her heart of maybe I'll get to be the one that bears the child that'll be the Messiah of all Israel. They didn't understand all of this. Hey, that Mary found out, right? I mean, they didn't know how it was going to happen, but she had an honor. Flip back to chapter number 1 in Luke. You're right there. Flip back a page maybe and listen to what it says as an angel is coming. Verse number 26, it says, and in the sixth month, and he's talking about the sixth month of the expected. In the sixth month, Gabriel was sent unto a Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, listen to what he said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Can you imagine how she is now pondering? She's sitting there thinking about, the angel came and he told me that I was blessed among women. But he told her more than anything, wow, that she was the highly favored one of God. I mean, how can you imagine? She's sitting there thinking about this. How can I be so blessed of God? You ever thought that about when your kids were born? God, I'm so thankful that they're healthy. Isn't that what you do? When they come, hey, you know what you ask them doctors? Have we got 10 fingers and 10 toes? Are they okay? Does everything, that's what we look for. That's what we're expecting. That's what we're just praying and asking God, please take care of. Because, we know anything can happen. Now, one of our granddaughters was born with a birth defect, and they told us some things down through the pregnancy that, just kind of scared us. We didn't know what to expect. But boy, when she was born, hey, it was a whole lot different than what they thought. They said, we don't think she'll ever walk. Well, you better get out of the way now when you see her. Amen? Seriously, they told us all these kind of things. I can remember they were worried, about body functions and all this. And we were there at the hospital, and a nurse came running down. She looked at me, and she said, we've got a wet diaper. And I thought, whoa, hallelujah, because they thought there was going to be some kind of problems with all of that. And that lady said, I've never been so glad to see a wet diaper in all my life. I said, me either. Hallelujah. If you're happy, I'm happy. it's just crazy, isn't it? But isn't that what we're looking for? And here's Mary. She's pondering. She's meditating on all of these things and saying, look, how can I be so honored? How can I realize that I am so favored? How can I realize the Lord has done so much for me? Aren't you glad for what He's done for you? Amen. You just sit there sometimes saying, God, I feel like I'm highly favored. Amen. Amen. You run into Brother Jeremy Neal and you ask him how he's doing, he'll tell you, won't he? I'm highly favored. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, we all are. That God had enough love and mercy to look down on the wretchedness of us as men and forgive us of our sin. Thank God you ought to say, I'm highly favored of God above. Amen. So Mary is there pondering, and she's pondering about the honor that's been bestowed upon her. But not only, I think this, you see that she is pondering and considering the humility that's going to be needed to do the job that she's been placed in. Look there in verse number 46 of the first chapter again of Luke, and notice this. This is Mary. This is Mary talking. And she's going to need something special for her life to do what she's going to have to do to raise this child. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Let me just clarify that for you. All generations will not call her co-redemptrix. All generations will not call her and say, we've got to pray to her. All generations will not look at her and say, she remained a virgin forever. Let me tell you, let me just bust some of them little bubbles for you right there. Mary was just a human being like me and you, but God chose her in her humble state. She said, I am a low person on the totem pole of life, but God has chosen me, and I've got a job to do now for the rest of my life. I mean, can you imagine that? That's a pretty big task for anybody. And here's Joseph, and we've already talked about Joseph before, about being the man that God chose to raise his son and lead him and teach him. And now Mary, as I say, just a teenager, just a young girl. And he has placed her into this position, and she says, I want you to know I look at it, but I enter it with some humility. Mamas and daddies, please enter that phase of your life with some humility, realizing that God has placed something special, somebody special into your hands, and with a humble heart, you're there to raise these children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I mean, sometimes we get the idea, well, I'm going to beat them into submission. No, that's not what God says. He's not saying be a bully. He's saying that you and I are to love them. We're to cherish them, as I said again, to teach them and to lead them and to do it with some humility. Because, man, it's a big job, mamas and daddies. It's a big job. And as I said, Mary's sitting here thinking about what kind of mother will I be? How will I handle some of the things undoubtedly that will come when they come my way? And you know what? I think Mary could look at it like this too, like me and you. I'm going to mess up, but Lord, please help me when I do. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be the perfect parent. I'm not going to be the one that does everything, gets everything right. But when I do, Lord, please show me and help me to understand who I am and who you are and who we're raising here. But again, think about Mary and her humility as she said, Lord, I just want to be your servant. I just want to be your handmaid. I mean, you see that? Verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Oh, she says, I know, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. But I do get to be the mother of the darling Savior of the world. What a place that God had put her in. So, you see how that she realizes the honor that was bestowed upon her and the humility that was needed. But I want you to see something that she really didn't consider. The hurt that was going to be coming down the line. And you remember we talked about over here the other night about the pronouncement given by Simeon as at the presentation of Jesus as he's in the temple and as a babe, and they're bringing him as they have to do with the offerings. And over in chapter number 2 again, if you will, it says, verse 34, and Simeon blessed them. He's blessing the mom and the daddy. Amen. You know, we bring kids in, and we're having a dedication service. Can I tell you, part of that dedication service is this. The mamas and the daddies need the blessings of God to raise the children as they ought to. And Simeon blessed them. He blessed
Joseph and Mary. And he said unto Mary, listen to what he said to Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Everything's good now. She's like, well, he's going to be special, going to be different. But look what he says in verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Parentheses. Mary, there's going to be some things happen in your baby's life, and it's going to hurt. When he gets to be a man, oh, listen, I mean, I can't imagine Mary having to stand there and see Jesus hanging on a cross between two thieves, accused falsely and maliciously spoken of and spat upon and slapped and treated the way that he was, beaten with that cat of nine tails. And he's hanging there. Don't you know that mama's heart is broken? She didn't know that. She didn't know that. But wow, when she's there, you can see the brokenness of her heart. You ever see the brokenness of a mama's heart when their children are sick or when something's gone wrong, and you just sit there and you look at that child and your heart's broken because of what's going on? Listen, I'm telling you, y'all watching the TV this time of year, I'm with you on this. They show a lot of those St. Jude and cancer type commercials, and I'm telling you, there's times I sit there and I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this or not. I see those mamas and daddies and tears running down their face talking about, you know, they've got a place to go, but you know their hearts are broken. Their hearts are in two because of what they've heard. And can you imagine, here's Mary. This is something maybe hopefully she wasn't pondering the fact that this is what's going to happen to her darling son. But I want you to look at one last thing in this, if you will. I want you to notice, you see, the preservation, she kept all these things. And the meditation, she's pondered them. But I want you to notice the destination. It says that these things are all kept and they're all pondered. They're in her heart. They're in her heart. I mean, don't you and I really think about that's where we keep all the things that are precious and special to us? We keep them in our heart. Now, I'm not talking about that muscle that's contracting and pumping blood through your body. That's not where we keep them. But there's a place on the inside of us where we keep all those special moments and those special memories. We keep them down in our heart. I mean, you know, we keep photos today. Y'all love to do that sometimes? Just sit down and look at them old pictures. Flip back through those old pictures, the old days, and how things change. And we all do. And it's precious. They didn't have photos in that day. But Mary was making a photo book in her heart of all these special little things with that special little baby that was born to her on this special night. I mean, here she is. She had a heart that was, well, it was storing. It was putting it like we do in the computer, you know, we download it. She's downloading all this stuff in her heart because all of those, as I said, are special memories, special things to her. And when you look at it, I mean, when you think about her heart, if you'll realize this, in the very beginning of this thing, look back again in chapter number one. Look back again in chapter number one, and you'll notice when all of this stuff started happening, it was verse 28 again, the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. But look at this. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And then the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Can I tell you, first of all, when all of this started, Mary had a heart of fear. There was fear in her heart. I mean, she's like, I don't know what this is. I mean, she'd never seen it before. Hey, let me tell you something. An angel show up at your house and begin saying some of the things that they said to her as a young teenage girl. Don't you think there'd be some fear there? I believe, man, your blood pressure would rise, your heartbeat would increase. You'd just be like, I don't know what's happening. And the first thing that's going to happen, it's going to be fear.
It's going to be fear. And that's what entered the heart of Mary in the beginning. There was fear. But aren't you glad as you move on from that, you see that Mary's heart began to have some faith. Look in verse number 38 in chapter number 1. The angel had announced all of these things to her. And verse 35, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And listen to Mary. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. She'd had a fearful heart in the beginning, but now she's got a heart of faith. She said, "I believe what you've said." Oh, can I tell you this morning, a lot of folks come into church and they hear the word of God. And I'll tell you, I was one of them. It brought fear into my life. I began to think, what would happen if I died? What would happen if the Lord was to come and everybody else that I know left and went on to be with Jesus? I mean, it began to bring some fear. But can I tell you, when the Lord saved me, it changed from a place of fear to a place of faith, amen, in a living and a loving God. I mean, Mary, you know what she said? At first, she was fearful. "I don't understand what this means. I don't get it. I'm not sure." But then when he kept on and explained and went through and said, "Here's what's going to happen," you know what happened? That heart became a heart of faith. I'm telling you this morning, your heart can be a heart of fear. But thank God when the Lord moves in, he can make it a heart of faith. And she looked at that angel and then she spoke those words, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She said, "It's going to happen just like you said. I believe that it will." Aren't you glad you can believe like that too? Amen. I believe the Lord's coming again. Amen. Amen. I believe he saved me. He can keep me. Amen. There's a lot of things that you and I can absolutely stand rock solid on. And here's Mary. As I said, first a heart of faith. Out of fear. Now a heart of faith. I want you to notice this. She now, in the end of it, she begins to have a heart that's full. Look back over in chapter 2 again there, verse number 19. Mary kept all these things. She had all these things. And she pondered them in her heart. And you know what? When you begin to think about all those things that God's done and how that it has come to fruition, how it's come and made full circle. I mean, here she is, as I say, remember, fearful. But then she turns and has faith. And then she goes on that journey. And now what she's been told has happened. And you know what that does for you? It'll fill your heart up. It will give you a fullness on the inside of your heart that you need. God ever filled your heart up? Woo! When you were at a point where you're like, "I don't know how this, I'm not sure, I'm worried, I'm fearful, I'm fretful." But then all of a sudden, God says, "Just be faithful." And you say, "You know what? I'm making my mind up to be faithful. I'm believing God. I'm trusting him. I'm going to say, yes, Lord." And when you do, man, it comes to pass. And you know what it does? It fills that heart up. If you look at what's going on, you've got a bunch of shepherds. What are they doing? They are shouting. They're carrying on. They're excited. I mean, we see that, right? We see that. Here's the shepherds. I mean, they're rejoicing, they're glad. And there, you see it in verse number 20, right? It said, the shepherds returned. Here they're going back. They've seen Jesus just like it was told them. And it said they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things. I mean, woo, hallelujah, we've seen him. And they're running, you know, shouting and carrying on. And then there's other folks that the shepherds have gone out and told this story. And there are other folks out there scratching their head and going, "I don't know if I believe that or not. I'm just not sure. I don't." But can I tell you, when you look at the response, you see the response of rejoicing. You see the response, I guess, of rejection. But then you see the response of Mary, which is kind of in the middle, isn't it? She just sits here.
She's not shouting and screaming. She's not running and telling. She's sitting and keeping it in her heart and pondering all these things. But God just fills her heart up, and she realizes, man, this is all special. This is all something that I don't know if I can handle it, and I don't know how to handle it. But man, here it is. My heart is full. Her heart is full. I mean, she's like, wow, it's all of this. It's all of the things that I've heard. It's all come true. And now I just got to sit here, and my heart is just full of some great things. Somebody told this little story once about a little boy. He was out in the street going down, and he saw a church sign that said, "Have the best Christmas ever." Just a little simple sign, "Have the best Christmas ever." And he looked at that and he said, "I don't know." He said, "But I think it'd be pretty hard to beat that very first one." Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, this very first Christmas is the best one that has ever come along. Because the Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lord, has been born and come to earth. The angels have rejoiced. The shepherds have been struck with awe. And now Mary is acutely aware of things that are going on around. She don't know exactly, as I say, how to process them. She's not real sure about the whole picture. But thank God, she's just saying, man, my heart is now full of what God's done. I think sometimes me and you just need to sit down and begin to think. The little song says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. When you begin to think about the things God's done and how good He's been, and I'm not talking about money, and I'm not talking about necessarily your house and all that. I'm talking about just think about how good He's just been to you, how good He's been in your life, how He's been there, how He's blessed you, how He has just smiled, and as Mary said, highly favored. I mean, wow. When you consider that, your heart will get full. It'll get so full. Well, you'll be like David. It'll start running over, and it'll start splattering on somebody else, and they'll enjoy the overflow, won't they? Amen? Is your heart full this morning of that kind of joy, that kind of unbelievable thing? Hey, listen, the Lord wants to do something just for you here this morning, just for you. Let's stand, if you would. We're going to get ready, sing a verse of a song. Okay. Page 81, just as I...